Welcome back to our study of Luke. We are in chapter 12, and we're going to pick up with verse 15. Now, this is just at the beginning of what's called the parable of the rich fool. And I'd like to remind you of the setting here. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 12, we find out that there was a very large crowd. And my translation reads, a crowd of many thousands came together, and they were trampling one another. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And so Jesus began to speak to his disciples first. And then we find, after he spoke, somebody in the crowd yelled out to him and said, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And so Jesus responded and said, Who appointed me judge or arbitrator over you? And then here's where we pick up with the teaching. He told them, Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in abundance of his possessions. Now that statement in and of itself is loaded. You think about, and we're going to read this a parable here in just a minute. But I want you to think back to what you were exposed to from the time you were little. What the world says about money in abundance, things of the world. Now, Jesus teaches through a parable, and this is what he says. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, What should I do? So that, since I don't have anywhere to store my crops. Think of it in today's terms. My bank account's so big. Should I open a Swiss account? Do I need to move money offshore? Do I have the right stocks, the bonds? Whatever the case may be. How's my 401k doing? Verse 18. So this farmer who's producing a great deal, he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. Got plenty of money in the bank. Go ahead and retire, stop working, you're good to go. But God said to him, You fool. This very night, your life is demanded of you, and all the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, isn't this a timely message for us today? Doesn't it amaze you how the word of the Lord is absolutely timeless? You know, you think about how people work all their lives to accumulate wealth. All their attention is focused on what they can earn, what they can save, what they can do with their money. And what good does it do them? I mean, you may pass it down to a family member, sure. But where does that leave them? And what a position we can put ourselves in, being focused on the wrong thing. And I don't think it's by chance that he called him a fool, which is a pretty tough word when you think about it.
Yes, that's actually foolish. You know, there's two things to look at here. Where Heather started reading, it says a man's life, and it's the word Zoe. Is not wrapped up in his possessions, okay? But when you get to this verse 20, now her translation, they use the word life. This translation says, this night your soul will be required of you. It's the contrast between the self-life and then an eternal life. You not to let your life, the very thing that drives you, to be wrapped up in possessions. And if it is, then you'll find yourself in this situation. When you think about it, this guy has more than he knows what to do with. And so what does he decide to do? I don't even have enough room to store what I've got. Some will have to build bigger stuff. The world operates with that mentality today. Enough is never enough. It's always bigger barns, so to speak. It's that way in the secular world. Excuse me. It's also that way in the ecclesiastical world. Churches want to get bigger and bigger and bigger, more buildings and all this type thing. What are we doing with what we have? It's not what do we have. What are we doing with what we have? And you find this, the man's just consumed it on his own self. He's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about other people. And the Lord sums it up. Anyone whose life is wrapped up in their self and what they can get and what they accumulating and all that, he says it's foolish. It's foolish for a person to put their attention on the natural life and neglect the spiritual life, neglect eternal life. That's really the message that he's conveying here. And he tells this guy, your soul's going to be required. Your self-life will be required of you. In this case, he said this night. Your self-life will be required. We're going to give an account for what we've done with this life. You understand? God brings us all into accountability, and we're rewarded accordingly, or not rewarded, whichever the case may be. And so this is not just some story, for somebody to talk about. But this is something to take serious. God's talking to us, not just them, but God's talking to us. What has your attention? What's captivating you? And I'm telling you, people have so much attention on retirement and accumulation and all this type of stuff that it's controlling their lives. And if that's controlling your life, then God's kingdom isn't. And I'm going to show you something here as we go along in this. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. But he uses the word kingdom of God here in all this context, okay? So,
you think about how this whole conversation started and this parable started. There was a man asking a question focused on self, focused on the flesh. I want half of that inheritance. Make my brother share it with me. And so then he moves in to talking about the foolishness of that. And before we came out, a question dropped in me. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's your purpose? What's the intent of your heart? Now, we take an example. We take a look at the man asking the question about the inheritance. What's the intent of the heart there? To serve the flesh, right? What's our intent? What's our intent moving forward? And only you can answer that, and only I can answer that. And what's so amazing is the Lord already knows the answer, because He knows our heart. Do we know our heart? We can cover up things, and we can put excuses on things and say, well, you know, I need to do this because I have to, you know, take care of this and take care of this person and do this. But what's your purpose? What's the intent of your heart? I'm just going to leave that question with you.
Money's ruined many people. It'll reveal the character of people. I've been in some situations that it's really pathetic how much attention people put on natural things. I was involved in a situation. I won't go into detail. I'll just put it this way. A man was killed in an accident. He didn't have anything. And he had a gold serpentine necklace. And they got in the fight before he was ever buried over who was going to get that gold necklace. And it's amazing how many arguments and hostilities come out when someone dies and there's an inheritance. They come out of the woodwork, you know, for all these things. I remember Mom, a few months before she died, somebody was talking to her about a situation where the family in the funeral home got in a heated discussion over inheritance and all this, and I was visiting her, and she said, I hope you boys won't do that. I said, Mama, I can tell you this. That's the least of your worries. I said, I have lived this long without any of that stuff, and I just believe I can make it the rest of my life without any of it as well. And I think Donnie and Howard feel the same way that I do. And so don't even give it that a second thought. But it's amazing how things happen. Even in that setting, Donnie and Howard and I never had a cross word, but other people which we opened up, you know, trying to get rid of some things and furniture and this, and it was amazing to me. And Donnie had to really set his foot down because people just show their true colors over money, over stuff. It's not going to last anyway. How long are you going to have it? It's so foolish, and churches are the same way. It is so foolish to put all your attention and spending multi-million dollars on buildings and maintenance of those buildings and all these type things. For what? All that stuff's going to pass away. You think about the Temple of Solomon. Where is it? No longer here, is it? No, and it's about as elaborate as you can imagine. That's not the importance. It's not the stuff. But what are we doing with what we have? Just accumulating, or are we rich toward God? And most people are closed-fist toward God. Rich toward themselves, but not toward God. And God's wanting us to understand that we're working against ourselves. You think you're helping yourself, but you're actually hurting yourself when that stuff consumes your thinking.
Verse 22. And I want to say this. I do like the heading here of my Bible. It reads, "The Cure for Anxiety." Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add a cubit to his height by worrying? Then if you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest?
I want you to think about that. God said, you know, I take care of the birds.
Yeah.
Aren't you better than them? I made you superior to have dominion. If I'll take care of animals, don't you think I'll take care of you? So don't concern yourself with all these possessions. What am I going to eat? And I'm telling you, people are planning from one meal to the next what they're going to eat. They'll be eating breakfast and thinking about what they're going to have for lunch or what they're going to have for dinner and this type thing. And just really put so much emphasis on food. And listen, you don't live to eat. You eat to live. And I mean, you just have to keep that in proper perspective. And then he makes this statement. Who of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit? Who can add 18 inches to their height?
Yeah.
By thinking. None of us. And he says, if you can't do the least, and I'm thinking, the least,
yeah,
a person that could add 18 inches to their height, and he's calling that, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
He said, if you can't add a cubit to your height or the least, why are you taking thought about this other stuff? Take no thought. Don't set your mind on it, is what he's saying. You follow him? He's not saying you can't have clothes, not saying you can't have food. He's saying don't let that consume your thinking to where it's controlling your life.
Verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass or vegetation, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't keep striving for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Now, I said we was going to get to this kingdom here,
mm-hmm,
as we go along. You think about this. Everybody's life is ruled by something or someone, okay? The kingdoms of the world, either we're ruled by the kingdoms of the world or we're ruled by the kingdom of God. There's really no gray area. It's one or the other. Obviously, what we've read so far, like the rich man, he's being ruled by the riches, by kingdoms of the world, okay? He's being ruled by the riches. He's got his attention on something that's actually dominating his life. And he's given the examples. You don't be thinking about those things. Just think about this. Doesn't God take care of the birds? And how about your flowers? Doesn't God take care of that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he says, why are you thinking about your life? I mean, God is God is wanting to take care of us. He's more than willing to take care of us if we put our attention on Him. He said if God looks out after the grass of the field or the vegetation, don't you think God will look out after you? If God looks after the birds, won't He look after you? If God looks after the lilies, won't He look after you? He said, consider, set your mind on what God's doing. That God takes care of this. Think about this. Any of you ever put out any bird seed? Did you know that God's using you to feed the birds? God's taking care of the birds. Or grass seed or whatever. You understand. But God has this thing laid out. Well, if He can do that with birds, can He do that with you? Can He take care of you? I can't tell you the number of meals that God has provided for me through other people. You understand? And you're not asking anybody for anything. God is just giving you hands full on purpose, if I can say it that way. He just blesses you. You go in to get your food and somebody says it's already taken care of. And I'll tell you what I do. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You care about small things. You care about little details in life. You understand? And we've got to get to the point that we realize that God knows where we are all the time. God knows what we need all the time. And God says that He wants to give us the kingdom. He said, seek the kingdom. Seek it, pursue it. That means it's not just something superficial that you're just going to stumble over. But you seek for God to rule over your life. And He goes on to say, it's your Father's good pleasure. God delights in giving you the kingdom. You don't earn it. And so what is this kingdom that He's talking about? It's a kingdom that takes care of birds and flowers and people if they'll let Him. God wants to give you this kingdom to where God is ruling over your life. When God's ruling over your life, then God's providing you resources. God's providing for you. But how many people were truly led by the Spirit of God? How many times have you heard, well, I'm just making a living? You know, I owe, so off to work I go. You know, those sayings and all this type thing. To where I'm providing for myself. Not understanding that God's the one providing. I remember several months before I left secular work to go into what people call full-time ministry, I had gone up and picked up the checks for the guys that worked for me, and the checks were in sealed envelopes. And so I bring them into my office, and I started to open my envelope. And when I did, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and He said, this company is not your source. I said, all right, so what are you telling me? He said, this company can go bankrupt tonight, and if you depend on the company for your resources, then your resource will be cut off. He said, I am using this company to provide for you. Don't look to the company. You keep your eyes on me. You know that company is not in existence today? Isn't that amazing? Because the Lord had me to leave before them. But what He was doing was preparing my heart to depend on Him, because He was going to take me into a place to where I would have to depend on Him because I had no natural means of income. You walk away from that and you trust that the Lord is going to take care of you. And the Lord was preparing my heart. Don't depend on men to take care of you. And I'm telling you, people will get in conversations for the whole reason of letting you know that they have a need, hoping you'll meet their need. Then you're trying to get. No, you keep your mouth shut. And you let God meet your need. You understand? That's what he's telling. This is the way the kingdom of God works. It's not God just holding an iron fist over you to make you stay in line and that type of thing. No, when you're looking at the kingdom of God, the kingdom takes care of you. Our nation is supposed to be taking care of us. It's supposed to be providing protection for us. It's supposed to be doing what's in our best interest. How many of you know you don't want to take that one to the bank? No, you want to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when these kingdoms fall, and I didn't say if, I said when, these kingdoms fall, God's kingdom will still be standing. And if we're locked into the kingdom of God, then we're not losing resource. We're depending on God. God says, I want to give you my kingdom. But my kingdom's a spiritual kingdom. And you can't get my kingdom naturally. The only way you can get my kingdom is to walk in the Spirit. The only way, my means of ruling you and providing for you is through the Spirit. And so stop looking from the flesh. And most people are looking to God naturally. I'm telling you, I'm becoming more and more convinced that many people who think they are born again really are not ever born again. They don't have a nature change. They have a head salvation, not a heart salvation. You can be saved in the head to where you're doing what everybody tells you to do, and you can be a good little boy and all this type stuff, and yet in your heart, at nature level, when you get into situations, the true nature comes out. It's not the nature of God. It's the nature of the devil. And I'm not talking about one that hasn't renewed their mind. I'm talking about to where there is change. Because you are born into a spiritual kingdom just like you were born into a natural kingdom. So the new birth has absolutely nothing to do with natural. You can... I'm just going to go here, okay? Jesus died for the sin of the world. And so you believe in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Right? Mm-hmm. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sin. And so our believing in Jesus Christ, I believe that He paid the penalty for my sin to be remitted. So God's not holding that sin against me. Jesus was punished for it. That doesn't change my nature. It may change my belief, but not my nature. The Holy Spirit is what changes my nature. When the Spirit of God, you're sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, not the name of Jesus. And that's not belittling the name in any way, form, or fashion. But people are not putting enough emphasis on the Spirit of God, and so they're marching to the beat of religion. They're doing what the denomination says. They're doing what tradition says. They're following the rules and regulations of the organization. But if you had a heart change, you wouldn't need external rules. You led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you away from God. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do things that God wouldn't approve of. And this is where we need to put so much emphasis on nature change. And when you get your nature changed, you realize you're a citizen of another kingdom. Your citizenship is in heaven. But most people relate to earth rather than to the kingdom of God. God wants His kingdom to come on earth. He didn't say, pray that you'll die and go to heaven and get into the kingdom. He said, you prayed that God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what Jesus is saying. Father wants to give you His kingdom. Father wants to rule your life. If He's ruling your life, the devil can't. And all this lack and all this other stuff, that's the result of the devil. You understand that Isaac sowed in famine and got a hundredfold return? It had nothing to do with circumstances. His resource was God. God says, you stay here, you sow. He did, and what happens? He gets the result of it. We've got to learn to follow the Spirit of God. Then we're enjoying the benefits of the kingdom that God has given us. God has handed the kingdom to us. But we have to get in the Spirit to enjoy that. So what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about something mystical. I'm talking about stop thinking naturally. Start thinking like the Word thinks. Instead of talking like the world talks, get in here and talk like God talks. And that's just simply agreeing with the Scriptures, even when the world doesn't agree. Circumstances don't agree. But don't let those things control your life. That's what He's telling us. Don't put your attention out here. Those things are flea. You understand? I mean, you can be a millionaire today and broke tomorrow. You think of how many people during the Depression lost everything and actually committed suicide. Because their life was wrapped up in what they possessed, not in God. And this whole message here is you get your life wrapped up in the Lord, to where God's kingdom is ruling your life. Amen.
Which requires submission.
Pardon?
Which requires submission.
Oh, absolutely.
And you think, commitment. Absolutely, all kinds of other words. But
where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, you have to be honest with yourself. What consumes me? What am I thinking about? My heart's going to be on my treasure. This is the thing that really concerns me about, especially with professing Christians. They talk about, I love God with all my heart. But yet, God's not given a whole lot of time. Everything else is given the time. This, that, and the other is consumed. So don't say you love God with all your heart. No. You're tipping your hat. Your heart is actually over here where your treasures are. And this is something that I've learned, and I can see this in people that are close to me. They start accumulating. God blesses them. They start accumulating. They get this toy. They get that toy. They get this house. They get that house. And you know what happens? Those things are consuming their life. So they have to go here. They have to go there. They have to go here. We use this toy. We use this toy. We use this toy. And then we don't have time for God. You understand? When you have these beach houses, mountain houses, and all this other stuff, you got to go there to justify it. You got to keep it up. You have to maintain it. You know when that's done? It's done on the weekends. Isn't it? Something to think about. And people don't understand that these are traps. And Satan uses beautiful things to entrap you. If you go fishing, you're going to give the fish something it wants. It's called bait. And you have to give it the bait it likes in order to catch it. That's the way the devil works. He's going to put something out there that is very appealing to you. And this is what's wrong with society today. They've got so much attention on wealth, on riches, and on recreation, and all these other things. It all looks good, it all feels good, and the flesh likes it, and the spirit is starving to death. And they're being trapped, and don't even know they're being trapped, just like this rich man in this parable that Jesus gave. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to wake up and understand there's nothing more important than the kingdom of God. And all the resources we need is found in His kingdom. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Not Wall Street, not IRAs, the bank, and all this other stuff. He supplies our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And we have to get these things in proper perspective. Time's up here, so I guess we better stop.